Amen. I hope you didn't come to church in a hurry to leave church. Amen. We're only having one service every Sunday until August, so guess what? We're going to get all we can out of it. We'll scrape the bottom of the jug until we're done. Amen. Y'all can amen now. I mean, it's all right. I heard you when we first came in. It sounded like bees buzzing in here. Now you're awful quiet. I don't know what that's all about, but we'll get to it. Luke chapter 19, while you're turning there, we're going to study on the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem. But if you ever dare go look at the whole chapter of Luke 19, it'll kind of mess you up. Amen? I call it the giving chapter. The giving chapter. You know, Zacchaeus starts it off. And when Zacchaeus got saved, he was a tax collector, right? And the first thing that he did is he returned everything that he stole. And then everything that he made profit off, he gave back four times. That was one of the biggest identifications that Christ had came into his life, because his whole life was about taking. And as soon as Jesus came into his life, he started giving. If you think, well, this is one of them church messages about prosperity, we don't do prosperity here, but we do blessing. Amen. If you give to God, God will bless you. Amen. And if you don't trust what we're doing with your money here at this church, go to a church where you do. Amen. Just being flat out honest with you. We're going to try to glorify God. We're going to try to grow the kingdom. And we'll try to grow a community church. That's what we're going to try to do. We try to reach as many people as we can to the lost as we can. But then you go into the next, and it talks about the talents that God lended. He lended 10, 5, and 2, right? And it doesn't matter how many talents and gifts you have, it's how obedient you are with them. Amen? There was one guy who had the least amount of talents, the least amount of responsibility, but he hid his talents and he hid his gifts. Some of us in this room, God has blessed you with a talent or a gift, but you've hid it. Amen? You don't know the character of God. You don't know who He really is. Then we come into the parable that we're going to read, not the parable, but the story that we read of Jesus' triumphant entry, and we see that two men are going over, and there's a young colt or a young donkey tied up, and guess what? Somebody gives it. Amen? And then at the very last of this chapter, we find out that God gets upset, Jesus gets upset when he comes down to the temple, and guess what? They're charging people to get the doves and the sin offerings. They're charging people for them. And people who can't afford them. And it upsets Jesus. The first three tell you this. You need to be given to God if He's given to you. The last one says there's some things you can't give to. Your salvation is a free gift. See, when they were down at the temple, what they should have done when somebody came that couldn't afford or couldn't pay for the sacrifice, they should have shared theirs. Amen? That would have been the custom. But instead they said, hey, we can make a dime off the sacrifice. Amen? Listen, there's one thing nobody can do in this room for you. Nobody in this room can pay for your sin debt, not even you. Amen? That's already been paid in full by Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. Amen? And all you have to do is accept that. Accept it. If you don't accept it, praise God, there you lie in danger of eternal separation between you and God in a place called hell. Amen? And that's the reality. So while we're in Luke chapter 9, let's look. Verse 23. Let's jump down to 28. Luke 19, verse 28. Sorry. There you go, Scott. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up into Jerusalem. He's heading into Jerusalem. Take a note right there and make a note that says, hey, Jerusalem is the city of peace. Amen? What it's called, the city of peace. Sure, that's what the name means, city of peace. But that ain't amazing. They are the city of peace, but they wouldn't accept the peace. Amen? The ultimate peace, which is Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Sometimes we can have cool names to cities and states and countries and then not have the true meaning of that, which is Christ involved in them. And it came to pass when he was come nigh unto Bethphage, the Bethany, at the Mount of called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Listen, guys, disciples go, right? Disciple, the root word of disciple is discipline. Jesus Christ will discipline your walk with him, amen? Sometimes he'll ask you to go do things that you probably don't want to go or do and don't feel comfortable doing, amen? Go anyway. do anyway. You'll be surprised. There'll be times in your flesh when God's telling you to go do something, you'll say, man, why would God send me over there to do that? That don't seem like it's a normal thing. But guess what? God is so awesome. He's working on you, and it's working on that. He's working on the situation where you're going. If God's in it, y'all might want to write that down, if God's in it. If God's in it and God sent you, it will prosper. Amen? If it doesn't, I can't tell you if it will or not. That's happenstance. But if God sends you, it's going to prosper. Even if it looks like a total failure. I'm going to start to preach in a moment. I kind of feel the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit right there. Listen, if God's in it, it will prosper even if you think it's an utter failure. Is there anybody in here feel like you're an utter failure sometimes while you're doing the thing that God's called you to do? You can't see the instant results. You're sitting there looking at it. Everything that God's told you to do, you're doing and you're being faithful. But you're sitting there going, but it ain't nothing happening yet. God, but there ain't nothing fixed yet. Hey, God, they're still in trouble. God, they ain't doing what I think they should be doing. You told me to come down here, but you know what I figured out about God a long time ago? He is not a fast food restaurant. Amen? You don't get the call right over here, and you don't get to say back to him and then go to the next window and pick it up. Praise God, sometimes you got to go a ways. Amen? Sometimes you got to go a ways. After the call comes, after your prayer goes, you have to go a ways. Amen? You have to go a ways to see the results. Man, I love this. I would have loved to have been those two disciples, amen? Been on the edge of their seat. I mean, go over there and grab us a donkey. It don't mean nothing to y'all right now. I've preached this so many times here. This right here don't make sense to us, right? Go over and get the donkey. We thinking in donkey terms. Go over there and steal somebody's Ford Mustang, right? That's better, right? Go over there and get somebody's classic Ford Mustang. So go over there and get somebody's Shelby Mustang. Right? One they put up and held up and, you know, they got it in the garage. They got a cover over it and ain't nobody can touch it. Right? That's what this was. Hey, go over there and get somebody's prized possession. Right? Somebody's past, present, and future. Golly, y'all good? Could you imagine going over there to steal somebody's, you're sitting there opening the garage door, taking the car cover off. Getting in the driver's seat. Where are you going with that Mustang? Jesus has need of him. God, I wish Jesus would tell me I needed a Mustang. Amen? Watch this right here. Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your center, at the entering you shall find a colt tied, wherein yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask, why do you loose him? Thus you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they were sent, went their way, and found, as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, why loose you the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and the colt, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Ain't that cool? I love this part right here. They actually said that, and it went with them. You know, God's got a big plan. And you know what? That plan involves details. That small little details. Amen? Everything has to come together. And Jesus had this colt ready, prepared, and he had a person who in his heart, I've preached this here before, but it never hurts to hear it again. God will do this to you, amen? He will prepare things in your heart and your life that he wants you to give to him and to him only, amen? Don't be afraid when God says, hold that for me or save it for me, amen? Hold that for me or save that for me. There's some of you in this very room, I wish I could get some people to testify every once in a while, you didn't hold or you didn't wait or you didn't save for Jesus, amen? But you wished you had now, amen? There were some things that I wish I'd held back for Jesus when he said to hold them back. I wish there were some things that I kept for Jesus and said, you know what, I won't use them until you use them. Some of my gifts, some of my talents, some of my abilities, some of my money, some of the things that I've had, some experiences I've had, I wish I'd have said, no way, I'm supposed to be saving this for Jesus and I won't give it to anybody but him, amen? I preached this so many times here, y'all probably get tired of hearing it, but I wonder how many offers he had on that little colt, amen? The devil always, you might want to write this down, the devil always comes after what's valuable to God. Amen? If you're under attack constantly, being pulled constantly, asked to sell out constantly, the devil's always pulling and nagging and trying to get you. Praise God, I want you to know this, that you're valuable to God and you're valuable to the enemy. Praise God, place a higher value on you. Don't sell out cheap. God, I mean, I wish somebody would get that. Don't sell out cheap. Some of y'all selling out cheap. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords asking help or asking you, wanting you. Praise God. Wait for him. He'll pay the highest price. Amen. He paid the highest price and he'll pay the highest price. And he'll keep your value. Amen. You'll keep your value. I love when I come out, I bet the devil got, we'll give you this. We'll give you this. Temporary. Everything the devil has to offer you is temporary. You might want to write this down, young people. Don't let anything on your life, in your life, or near your life that ain't Jesus before it's time. Amen? Something like that. Because praise God, if you'll wait and let Jesus get on, praise God, you won't ever be ashamed of where you went, where you go, and where you're headed. Amen? Come on, help me preach in here. Did y'all just wake up? Amen. That's good stuff right there. I wish somebody had told me, hey, just wait a while. One of the greatest things you can do for God is wait on him. And if you wait on him, he'll bless it. I mean, I love it. Man, they take that donkey and they're walking across the street. I can see them. I bet those two guys, man, have you ever had God do something that you didn't think he could do and you're just kind of like low-fiving each other? I could see the new disciples. This is going to add to their faith. See, God always does this. He does it. He builds your faith. He builds who you are. And Jesus, he'll let you have one victory after another victory if you'll just trust him and you'll just go. Amen? I bet they're walking away. I cannot believe this is happening. This is awesome. Then they take it. I love this. Let's get this scenario. They bring the donkey. They young the young colt back, and they put their clothes on it. Amen. They put their clothes on a beast of burden. Amen. They take all their outer covering and lay it on there where they can place Jesus on the covering. What they're saying is, we don't have anything good about us. We place everything good about us where you can sit on that. Amen. God, I wish you'd get a hold of this, man. Anything that you, listen, they wanted to make it right for Jesus, amen? And they set Jesus, they said they sat. Could you imagine that? There's some things that happen to Jesus while he's on the face of this earth that I can't understand. He's God. He doesn't need us to do anything. You might want to write this down. He don't need you to do anything. He wants you to do some things. He don't absolutely need you to do them, but he wants you to. And man, you should take advantage of that. God, I'm about to lose my mind right here. There's some times when I'm like, God, why are you trying to use me? Why do you want me to do that? He goes, because I want you to. Kevin, I don't need you, but I do want you. If you'll give me the opportunity to work through you, I'll bless people and I'll bless you. Amen. I'll glorify myself and I will bless you. Some of y'all keep making excuses and you ain't doing nothing but getting older. Amen? You're not doing nothing but getting older. One of these days, I'm really going to do something for Jesus. One of these days when I get up, when is that going to be? There's no better time than now. In 2021, we're going to need everybody. Don't be surprised in this church if this guy right here don't walk up and hand you something to do and say, hey, do this for us. You don't got to, but we're going to ask you. Amen. We're going to ask you because you know what? We need the help. Amen. We need the help. We need you to get involved. We need to get your hands dirty, your back hurt. You need to get a little messed up. You need to give a little bit more. Get into this thing. Have some skin in this game with us. Amen. You won't never regret it. The only thing you're going to regret when you get to heaven is you didn't do more. Amen. Oh, I better be quiet. I'm right on the edge of aggravating some of you. You're like, what do you want from us? I don't want anything from you. I want you to give your life to Christ and then serve him with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and you won't never regret it. There's a blessing right past that. Well, you know what? He got on this donkey. Watch this right here. He got on this donkey, on this colt, and it says, and they sat there on, and he went, and they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even under the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Do you know what? They put him on a colt that never had been ridden. I like the King James. They put him on a donkey. Donkeys have something in common. They're stubborn. And they're wild. Amen? Do me a favor. Find you a donkey in this community that nobody's ever sat on and just sit on it. Right after church. Just go out into somebody's field and ask them, has that thing ever been ridden? Say, I volunteer. I want to do it. Amen? But do me one favor if you do that after church. Video it. Please. I know a guy who rode one of those in a Christmas play one time. Ha! Thought I'd forget. All right, anyway, I wasn't here for it, but I heard about it and made me laugh. Amen? Watch this right here. He said, look at this. The nature, listen, get this. The nature of that donkey would have been to buck and to run and to do all kinds of craziness. But once Christ got on it, the nature of that donkey transformed into obedience. Amen? See, let me tell you something. If you would let Christ get on your life, your human nature will turn to obedience. Where you've been a rebel, where you've been, I'm not going to, I can't, I won't, will turn into whatever you say, Master. Wherever you want us to go, we'll go. Whatever you want me to do, we'll do. Amen? I could just imagine, I can just look down through the time of this is going on, the people who had that donkey, that colt in their possession. Now they're watching it. They thought about every time the enemy tried to take it away from them, every time it should have been going the other way. Guess what? Now Jesus is on it. They're probably sitting there going, man, I'm glad we saved that donkey. Amen? Man, listen, I don't want to compare you to a donkey. I don't. But some of y'all are stubborn, amen, and hard-headed, and you want to do it your way. And you want to go before Jesus gets on and gets in. But praise God, if you would just hold on a little bit longer and let Jesus on board of your life, He'll take you some places and do some things with you that you'll be absolutely going, man, I'm so glad I waited on Jesus. I'm so glad I waited on Jesus. Man, they're doing something right here. See, Jesus is going, He's headed to the cross. He has set His face like a flint towards Calvary. He's going to die for our sins. That's what, when he rode down into Jerusalem this day, this was He was going to get worshipped. He was going to get glorified. Because after this same crowd who's saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, glorify God, just in a few short days, in a few short hours, they're going to be screaming, crucify, crucify, crucify. Amen? And don't sit there so smugly and so kind of prideful and say, man, I can't believe how they turned on Jesus like that. We do it all the time. Amen? We do it all the time. One day we're praising God and some days we're cursing God. Amen? Or cursing what He's doing. Amen? Some of y'all go, I don't curse God. Yeah, but you curse the people. And guess what? Cursing people that are made in God's image is just like cursing God. Amen, preacher. Did y'all see that? That's what we do. We think people are our worst enemy. People are not our worst enemy. People are the reason we do ministry. Amen? There are no people out there that we don't want. We just want to see them get saved. Amen? What's this right here? They were worshiping. Boy, they were going nuts on what they had seen. They were just praising God. Save now. Hallelujah. Throwing their clothes down, taking palm branches and laying them down in front of Him. It was kind of like a kind of a protest. In certain ways, because the Jewish people, the sign of their nation was the palm tree. And when they take those palm trees, those big old branches, and lay them down, they were saying, we want God, we want Jesus to save right now. We want Him to change the power structure right now. He wasn't going to do it right then, but He was doing it. Amen? And they were laying those palm branches down going, He's about to change everything. He wasn't going to change everything as far as their government. God, I wish I could. Let me slow down right there. He wasn't going to change everything as far as the government, who was in charge of the whole world, but He was going to do something about who was in charge of every soul. God, some of y'all, man, y'all better, you better be glad that camera's sitting right there right now, or I'd be all the way down there. Some of y'all right now want God to change the government, but you won't even let Him change you. You won't let Him get in here and be the governor of your mind and soul, but somehow you want Him to run Washington. You want Him to get into the White House, but you don't want Him to get into your house. If He would get into your house and the house, oh gosh, Lord, and the house next to you and the house next to you and the house next to you, maybe the house in Washington, D.C. would be filled with somebody, because the people usually get the leadership they want. Well, let me say it a little bit differently. Usually the people get the leadership that reflects who they are. And you might not like the way I preach this or the way I say this, but the leadership we have today definitely reflects our nation as a whole. You know what? You could get two ways on that. You can get sideways mad about that, or you can get sideways repentant of that. Because we're a nation who kills children by the millions. We're a nation that nods and winks and never blushes or gets upset about sin ever anymore. We don't ever get upset. And if somebody's doing something wrong or evil, we try to make it out like, well, it ain't no real big deal. Well, it's a big deal to God. Whew. Now everybody's mad at me. You're going to go home. Well, I ain't never coming back over there. Well, this message travels well. Hey, man, it travels well. And I love this, verse 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. I hope some of them came right out of the temple. Come out there, sir, would you tell everybody to be quiet? We're trying to worship in here. Hey, we don't like all this shouting and glorifying and raising the cane. We like our religion a little quieter than that. Ain't it amazing? They wanted something that God didn't want. That's usually what religion looks like. Religion without Christ. It wants what it wants, but it doesn't want what God wants. God wanted to be praised. And when he wants to be praised, he will be praised. You might not be the one doing it, but somebody will. Somebody will. I've took an exception to this next verse because I've heard it preached a different way. I want to say wrong way, but a different way my whole life. But God kind of brought a lot of conviction on my heart about this, and you're going to kind of feel it. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I've been in church my whole life, since about 8 to 13 years old, and then I ran in the world, and then I got saved when I was 30. And people always say, the rocks ain't going to take my place. I bet some rocks have had to take your place on a regular basis. Amen? Let's just be honest. There's times when God's told me to worship, praise, share the gospel, share my testimony, and I absolutely haven't. God has wanted more out of me than just being a attender of church, somebody who's sitting in the pew, somebody who's talking about that I'm saved and I'm all right, I'm going to heaven and I'm happy. Praise God, he wanted more out of my mouth and I wouldn't. You know, I wonder how many times a rock would go, praise you, Jesus. They'd probably put us to shame. Amen? A rock with no brain, no arms, no legs. Amen? Sitting out in the wild. But praise God, if I would have, I always want to say, man, God, I wish they'd have let us hear that. I wish God would have let us hear those rocks. They'd have probably made us shamed. They'd have probably made us melt. They'd have probably said, oh God, you're amazing. You're worthy of praise. When you developed us and made us, we were mountains, but we're now pebbles. Praise God. We were way up there, but we're way down here now. Weather, time, everything, the climate has wore us down over time, but praise God, we're just as good today as we were when you made. Oh, if rocks could tell the story, they would probably say something like this. When I was huge and a part of something big and strong and high, you were God. And now that I'm low down in the valley and the stream, you are still God. I see you in that high mountain. I see who you are in your majesty above. But praise God, there's more names for God in the valley than there is the mountaintop. Amen? He is the lily of the valley. Praise God. There's names for God in the valley because you'll need more God in the valley than you do on the mountaintop. But he's God in between. Amen? Woo! Somebody could preach rocks. It'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou had known it, even that the least in the day, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. I'm going to give y'all three things that God give us today, and I'll be done. And these are a kind of a challenge to the ones that are not saved, and a more challenge to the ones that are saved this morning. I think he wept over three things. Now, it's not just three things God's put on our heart. The great privilege being abused. There was a great privilege being abused. They had God in their midst. They had Emmanuel, God with us. They had the very diadem of heaven sitting right there. And you know what? They didn't take the privilege. Guys, we've got a privilege of time. We've got a privilege in our lifetime that God is still in this. He's still saving souls. He's still changing lives. We have the privilege of being in the presence of God. We need to take more advantage of that. We absolutely do. If you're here on a Sunday and you feel the presence of God and God's moving in our church, I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. I don't care if you were the founding member of this church. Every once in a while, you need to stand up and say, "Praise God! Thank you, Jesus, for letting me be here." Some of you in this room who just got saved yesterday, every once in a while need to stand up and go, "Hey, praise God, I'm brand new in this thing, but I love Him. I love Him because He is the lover of my soul." Amen? We need to take advantage of the privilege that we have to serve God. Some of y'all, man, we got to. One day, I'm telling you this, there's going to be a day, if the Lord tarries very long, that you'll wish you'd done more with the privilege that you had. Amen? And you'll start, the privilege will turn into regret. The great possibilities that were being rejected. Whew. Man, you know what? The great possibilities. Some of y'all are going right now, man, this is a tough time to be a Christian. I believe it's quite the opposite. I believe this is one of the greatest times on the face of the planet to be a Christian. When it's the darkest, we should shine the brightest. We should be going right now, we should be saying, man, look at the possibilities for ministry. Do you think anybody's dealing with anxiety right now? Do you think anybody's dealing with fear right now? Do you think anybody's dealing with depression right now? Do you think anybody's dealing with uncertainty? Do you think anybody's dealing with anger? Praise God, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to stand up in a group of people like that and say, "I've got peace. I've got peace like a river. I've got joy unspeakable. I've got a promise of a greater day tomorrow than there is today." Someone to go, man, give us one reason why you should be happy. Give us one reason why you should be full of joy. Because I have Jesus Christ within, and I have a promise of eternal life. Every day since I've been saved, I've gotten better in my relationship with Christ, and I've gotten closer to heaven. There's a little less of me and a little more of Him. Amen? That's what, the possibilities are endless. Do you know what? This generation right now, man, some of y'all should have ran by and stole the torch already. Some of y'all should have ran by and stole the torch. The older generation kind of had to slow down a little bit. You should have came up beside them and grabbed the torch. I got it! I'll run with it! You should have said, we might make a mess of things, but we're going to run with it. We're going to run with Jesus. The possibilities are endless. The possibilities are endless. Suicides are up. Hundreds percentage. Drug overdose up hundreds of percentages. People are hurting. They need us. The possibilities. Some of y'all need to stop living for yourself and start looking out into a lost and dying world. And it wouldn't take much more than just walking up to somebody, you know, 6 feet away. I know. Just walk up to them. And even if you can just pull your mask out just a little bit, or if you can talk through one and just go, "I love you and I'll be praying for you. Man, you look good today. Man, you're awesome." When did the church stop loving people because there's a pandemic? You know what we should do? We should start doing random acts of love and just passing it forward. But when somebody asks, you say, "What's going on?" Them radical people up there at Flat Top Church are trying to start a movement to Christ. They're saying kind things. They're doing kind things. They're out helping people. And when you get them right down to it, then you say, "Why are you doing this?" They wear you out with the gospel and their testimony. Because you draw more people with honey than you do with vinegar, right? Just love on people, and you could tell them the story. Amen? And then the last one, the great punishment that lies ahead. The great punishment. Well, nobody hardly ever talks about that anymore in church. We all talk about the good. But Jesus looked over a city and He knew that the city of peace was about to be taken over and destroyed and burnt. But ultimately, He was looking down through eternity and He seen the people going off into hell for eternity. And then he sees the great judgment. Guys, he sees your great judgment coming too. Amen? He sees the privilege, the possibilities, but he sees the punishment as well. Some of y'all need to see the punishment. Some of y'all need to see that your life, you don't get so many promised days on this earth. Amen? Sometimes y'all look at people in here and say, that lady's old, or that man's old, or that person's young, or that person's young. You might be young and be younger than the person you're looking at. Amen? You might be old and older than the person you're looking at. You might not have as many days as you think you do. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. People die every day of all kinds of different things. Some of y'all need to look around and say, you know what? I'm not promised tomorrow, so I'm just going to live for Christ today. Amen? Let's all stand. As Scott comes get a song, I want y'all to think about these three things this morning, to take advantage of the privilege we have, the possibilities that lay in front of us as a church and a ministry, but also that punishment. I want you to think about that this morning as we sing this song of invitation. If you died today, if you drew your last breath, where would you spend eternity? Would you spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ because you believe in Jesus Christ being the only begotten Son of God, that He died for your sins? Or would you hear these words? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You were never born again, you never believed in me, you never trusted in me for salvation. Amen? Depart from me, you worker. Those are going to be the hardest words ever spoken and ever heard, ever. Those are going to be the hardest words you'll ever hear. I don't believe there's one person here by accident this morning. If today was your last day on the face of this planet, where would you spend eternity? Please don't sit one more moment in those seats where you're at unsaved. You can get saved in your seat. You can get saved on these altars. You can get saved on the way home. But please do not reject the only salvation that is available to you. As he sings, every head bowed, every eye closed. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, you don't know about your salvation, step out and step on up as Scott sings.